major issue so far in the city is affordable housing. What steps are you going to take to make housing more affordable in Nashville?
I'm actually really mostly impressed with the affordable housing plan that's in existence. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see us continue our efforts there. Mm-hmm. I think that some steps that could be taken to make the process a little bit more palatable for neighborhoods would be better communication between neighborhoods and planners at the onset of these different developments. I'd like to see us also do a little bit of education and advocating around what affordable housing actually is and what it looks like and what it means to the community. I think that right now there's an unnecessarily adversarial tone going on in between neighborhoods and affordable housing advocates, and I really think that most people that I talk to in neighborhoods are actually not at all against affordable housing and not at all against density. But I think that there needs to be some trust built up. So I would like to see City Council work in that role of helping to educate and helping to advocate and also helping to facilitate conversations between neighborhoods and affordable housing.
We'll take one recent example is somewhat controversial, the Larchmont project. How do you think that could have been handled better if it needed to be handled better? And would you have voted for the project, the final project, as it came to council?
Most likely I would have. I haven't looked at it all that closely to see what the specific plan looks like. My general sense when I first heard about it was that Mountain Housing Opportunities does a really great job. And my sense about Mountain Housing Opportunities is that I trust them to do a good project. At the same time, the people who live in that neighborhood may not have that experience. And so I think, again, this is an area where, from what I understand, the neighborhood had some valid concerns. And I think that if neighborhoods feel like their valid concerns are being listened to and addressed through the course of a project, then you're going to come out with a better project.
The city's faced a number of kind of up and down, mostly down lately, budget years. If there's a budget shortfall in the fiscal year you're looking at, are you going to focus on revenue or cuts to make it up? And if so, specifically, what revenue or what cuts?
I would prefer to focus on revenue. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that. I think sometimes you have to make cuts, and I think that that's an option that you want to look at just to see if there are areas where you could. But my general sense is that we should be creative about for ways to increase revenue if we possibly can. And I realize that that's a source of major frustration for city council members right now, is that there aren't that many venues for raising revenue. So that would be my preference, but the options are limited. So the options would be, you know, maybe a bond referendum. I would personally love to revisit the hotel sales tax.
And get the state approved for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Transit is it's a major goal on yours, is better, safer, more efficient public transit. But of course, there's been less subsidies for that in recent years. Mm-hmm. What kind of transit improvements do you think are top priority, and how would you pay for it?
I think we need a transit system that people want to use, mm-hmm. that people find to be efficient to get to work and to shopping. I'll give you an example. My parents retired. They live a block off of Merriman Avenue, and their choice to live there was partly because at some point they're not going to want to drive as much. And one day they decided to take the bus to Tunnel Road, and it literally took them all day to get to Tunnel Road and back from Merriman Avenue. And it was quite an adventure with transfers and confusion. And to me, that just points to the fact that it's not a user-friendly system. And I think that what we're doing is marginalizing people who are forced to use it because they don't have a car. And I would really like us to be much more aggressive in restructuring our transit system so that it's not just, you know, what we can scrape by with for the people who need it. In terms of how to pay for it, again, you know, if there were easy answers to this, we'd be paying for it. So I think that there are, again, there are ways that we need to be creative. If we make it a priority for our community, and I think it is a priority for a number of reasons, I think it needs to fit in the entire picture. When we're talking about greenways and we're talking about bikeways and we're talking about sidewalks, we absolutely have to be talking about public transit as a priority for our community. And so I would hope that we could also reach out to the regional MPO, to the Department of Transportation, and find ways that we can look at our transportation system in a holistic way, rather than just you know, leaving it on the shoulders of the city, or, you know, I think it into and out of and around the city, that the entire transportation system needs to be looked at.
On that note, actually, one proposal for some of the more, I guess, brick and mortar infrastructure needs has been a bond referendum. Are you in favor of looking at that?
Can you repeat that? Has been a what?
My apologies. One of the proposals for some of the more brick and mortar infrastructure side, been a bond referendum.
Yes.
Would you be in favor of looking at that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I would.
You mentioned the Department of Transportation and the relations with Raleigh, especially the General Assembly, between the city have been somewhat strained. What approach will you take to those relations if you're elected?
I think it's vitally important for us to build those relationships up. I think that is one of my goals as well. I really see City Council as not only in the business of, you know, directing what happens in the city staff and making policy, but also as public relations for the city. We have to be reaching out to a variety of folks out there. We need to be reaching out to people in Raleigh, legislators. We need to be reaching out to the business community. I mean, I just see us as being facilitators of relationships on many, many levels, both within the city and outside of the city.
One issue of some controversy about development, specifically downtown development, has been the changes passed in the downtown master plan that shift more over the Planning and Zoning Commission away from council. Would you vote to reverse those changes?
First, I need to understand specifically what they are. I have looked at the ordinance that passed,
yes,
and it's really complicated. I've looked at the downtown master plan, which is not really complicated. So when I look at the downtown master plan, I go, wow, this looks terrific. When I look at the ordinance that passed, I have some questions. So I really want to be completely clear on what all of those rulings mean and what parts of that are good and what parts of that might need to be changed before I...
On the development thresholds and things like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Speaking of downtown, well, you vote if you want to vote.
Issues with 51 Biltmore revolve around the city's involvement in paying for it and the whole parking issue. And, you know, one of the things that I am advocating for is ways for us to reduce our use of the automobile and our ways for us to reduce our dependency on cars. And so many of the development issues to me always seem to boil down to cars. This development here, a lot of the controversy is around the parking deck. The Larchmont, a lot of the controversy is around the amount of traffic that it's adding to that road and coming out of Merriman Avenue. Same thing with Caledonia. If you've been up there and looked at that road, it's a teeny tiny little road, and so much of the concern there is how many cars are we adding to this area. So when I look at all of these, you know, development questions, and there's so many controversies, a lot of it to me boils down to, again, our transportation. I know that seems like a stretch, but in all honesty, I feel like if we start addressing our transportation issues in the city and we start setting up our priority to minimize our need for cars and start providing other ways for people to get around, I feel like some of these controversies are going to be mitigated.
One other issue that's emerged with some of the with the city recently has been the accountability of staff, specifically the APD. You know, where they, Chief Hogan resigned. There's an interim chief. There's a process going on. The evidence room closed off. There's the whole mess with the sexual harassment suit and the officer involved in that still being employed. What steps do you think greater accountability needed from the APD? And if so, what steps should be put in place?
I think it's very important for there to be accountability on that police department. Again, it's one of those situations where we all have to work together as a community and we have to be able to trust each other. And if the police department is seen as having, you know, some level of corruption and not taking action to resolve those issues, then, you know, we all lose out as a community. So definitely yes on accountability in terms of what steps, specific steps could be taken. It really has to start at the top. I think it's a management issue, so I think that whoever is put in charge needs to really be held accountable ultimately for what's happening in the police department, and there maybe needs to be a little bit more transparency.
Okay. What approach are you taking in your campaign, and how do you think it's going so far?
I think it's going amazingly well. I got into this a little bit late. I spent a lot of time vetting the job. I wanted to be sure that the job of being a city council person was the right fit for me. So I spent a lot of time thinking about it, asking questions about it, talking about it, and ultimately decided that, yeah, this is really something I'd be good at and something I really want to do. So so I feel like I started out with a little bit of a disadvantage in terms of time. That being said, I've been working incredibly hard to get out and meet people and talk to people, talk about the things that I'm passionate about, the issues that I've already been working on in the community. And what's been interesting for me is that, you know, I know so many people in the community from all the various, I've done so many different types of things in the community, so many different types of community service, and I've had different careers here, you know, being a business owner and also working for the Jewish Community Center. And so I found that there's people know me from the one place where I've worked with them. And so it's been pretty interesting to talk about all the things that I've been working on and to sort of help people to understand how much involvement I've had in the community. So that's been kind of fun.
Okay. Is there any other issues you'd like to talk about? Anything else you'd like to talk on?
Well, the things that I'm personally most passionate about are the environment, protecting the environment. I think that needs to be pretty much the number one priority of all of humanity. I feel like every decision that we make, that should be the underlying priority for us, is what are we doing to get ourselves off of fossil fuels? How are we going to locally set an example for how you can make a real change in the infrastructure of your city in order to, as closely as possible, eliminate your dependence on fossil fuels. So that's a huge priority for me. So that then gets into the whole question of transportation. It also gets into the question of energy efficiency. But there's so many opportunities there for us to create jobs while we're building infrastructure, while we're, you know, everybody's talking about this green economy and wanting to bring that here. And absolutely, I totally agree with that. I think there's a lot of opportunity for us in that regard. The other thing that I have been working on and I'm deeply passionate about is education. Particularly, I've been working on early childhood education. And one of my other passions has been working on race relations in the community. And in my work with Building Bridges, one of the things that I've been looking at and feeling very concerned about and talking to other members of the Building Bridges board about is what's going on in our public schools with the achievement gap and how minority students are performing in the schools and how our schools are best going to serve minority populations. So we've been, you know, there's been a lot of brainstorming going on. I'm really happy to see that Asheville City Schools is addressing that. But from my perspective, having been in the field of early childhood education, I think that there's more that we can do to address the needs of families prior to when they actually get into the school system. I think that there needs to be some kind of support measures put in place for families with young children from birth through kindergarten. And I really like the model that the city has established for ending homelessness, and I think that that's something that we might look at to form these kind of like public-private partnerships to provide supports for young families. And so that's something that I'd like to look at and certainly advocate around.
Speaking of our relationship with Raleigh, actually, that kind of brings up the plans floated around for years to dissolve the Asheville City School System, merge with Bonneville County. Would you oppose that if it came up in Raleigh during your tenure?
Yeah, I would. I think the Asheville City School System is a very good school system. I personally feel that smaller is better when it comes to a managing that kind of a system. I think we're serving a different population in the city of Asheville than is generally in Buncombe County, which is not to say that I think Buncombe County is necessarily not doing well. I just think there's different needs and there's a different focus. And I think, I have a child at Asheville High, and I would absolutely support continuing to have an Asheville City school system.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.